Hey, welcome to Westside Church Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today. Here at Westside, we're all about equipping believers to succeed in life and mature in Christ as they reach, win, and disciple others. In just a moment, you're going to hear an encouraging message. But before we get into it, if we can serve you in any way by helping you grow in your walk with God, we want to connect with you at wcspokane.com/connect. Fill that out, and someone from our team will reach out to you. Now let's get ready to study the Word together.
So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to spend a few weeks on looking at our mission, at the overall church mission, the church's mission as a whole, the capital C church, not just Westside, but the whole church, the church that Jesus is building all over the earth. Look at the church as a whole for us here in Westside Church, what our mission is, and then spend a couple of weeks on talking about our individual missions, how we can plan, how we can have a purposeful year. I don't want us to have a year ever where it's just, we'll just see what comes. You know, if you're going to have things happen in your life, including God things, they've got to be intentional. They have to be on purpose. It takes effort. It requires some focus, and it requires the D word, discipline. Yeah, oh man. So we're at the beginning of the year where everybody's like, this is the year. I'm going to be disciplined, right? I'm going to shed that extra 20, 30, 40, 50, 50, whatever. I'm going to shed it all, right? I'm going to get in the gym. I'm gonna do better in the house. I'm gonna do better on the job. I'm gonna take better care of the yard. I'm gonna reach out to the resolutions, right? And the statistics are abysmal when it comes to resolutions, right? Have you guys heard of these? When you pay attention to statistics, most people don't make it into March. It just because resolutions can be fickle. Without discipline, without focus, without something you're putting your attention on consistently, we're not going to arrive where we want to go. But God's calling us to places. He's calling us to do things, and it does require discipline, right? I mean, he calls us to make disciples and to be disciples. There's no coincidence that the word disciple is the root word in discipline, that they're connected together, right? So we're just going to see some things, and I'm hoping that what we see today and over the next few weeks will spur us into wanting to do something different and really put a focus and attention, not just on our stuff and our gadgets, on our own wishes and whims, but on the things of God. Because I'm telling you, as your pastor, as a leader, the only things that matter coming out of this life is the things we do for the kingdom of God. Amen. It's it. The trinkets and the toys and the plastic and the metal and all the stuff you park in your yard and your garage and at your house, all that stuff is going to be gone. And the only thing that lasts is what we do for the kingdom of God. And how we impact people. That's what matters. And so God doesn't have a problem with the stuff as long as we're making our focus and our attention on the people and on the kingdom. Amen? So in Matthew 16, are you guys there? Matthew 16, we'll start in verse 13. It says this, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, that means stone, Peter's stone, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus is interested primarily as main focus. That's what Jesus focuses, is to build the church. Amen. Not just Westside, but the church, capital C. You know what I mean when I say that, the church worldwide. Jesus is interested in people. He's interested in building the church, not buildings, not sound systems and lights and platforms and chairs. It's people. That's right. The only reason this building exists is because you guys are sitting in the seats, right? We come together, we encourage each other, we hear the word, we're stirred to action, we're stirred to focus and discipline, and we go out into the world as lights of the gospel to the people around us. Amen. And we got to remember that every single day so that we can look around at the people that are hurting and lost. Amen. But Jesus is interested in building his church. He's interested in building his church. But he says something interesting here at the last two verses. One is, he renames Simon Peter, which means stone, rock. And he says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. That means Peter is going to be one of the foundational pillars of building the church. He's going to use Peter to do this. But he's building his church. In Revelation, it talks about the stones that are in the foundation of Jerusalem. And there's names written on these stones of the wall of Jerusalem. And the foundational parts, those names in the foundation are the disciples, the apostles that Jesus called. But walls aren't made of just foundations. They're made of brick by brick and stone by stone. And the scripture alludes to the fact that when we get to see this with our own eyes, we're going to see heavenly Jerusalem with our own eyes, that these stones that are built around the Jerusalem have names on them. The disciples' names are there, and there's the disciples' disciples' names are there. I mean, anybody and everybody that has a part to play in building the church, you got a brick, you got a stone, you got a section of wall. Think about this. The church is still being built, isn't it? Amen. Acts is still being written. The book of Acts is still being written. Are we going to be a part of it, or are we going to be bystanders, spectators? Come on, it's to those that put their hand to something. Amen. Everybody okay? So then in Revelation, there's another word here that that talks about keys. Because in verse 19 there in Matthew, he says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he tells us whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus, out of his own mouth, is telling the church, I am giving you authority. Right? If you have a key to get into this building, you have a measure of authority. We don't just give those to everybody. If you came by it dishonestly, you better give it back. Right? If you got a key to a building, it's because you have some sort of authority, right? He's telling us these keys are important. He's giving them to the church. He's giving them to us because we have authority. We've got to step out and be that authority, amen? In Revelation, he talks about it again. Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18, Jesus. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. That's Jesus. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. But he laid his right hand on me, this is the Lord, and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades, which is the unseen realm, and of death. Jesus took the keys of authority back from the enemy when he rose from the dead. So he's got all the keys. The master set. He took them back. And he's told the church, I'm giving you the keys. You have authority. You have place in the earth. The church has authority in the earth. Everybody awake? I know it's January 1st, and last night might have been a little wild. Hopefully not too wild, right? Here we are. But we have authority in the earth. And we got to use it. We got to exercise it. Amen. This is church worldwide. There's a reason why the man of lawlessness has not been revealed yet. The Bible talks about the Antichrist not being revealed until that which is restraining is taken out of the way. It's the church. There's a reason why he cannot come to the forefront yet. It's because we are still here. Are you hearing me? So we got to exercise that authority. We got to draft in as many people as we can get into the kingdom of God. Amen. Our job as a whole is to help build the church. Now you might ask this question because many do, and I ask the same question myself. What about the Great Commission? I thought that was it. Well, let's turn over there and look. Matthew 28. I hear a few pages turning. Come on. The Bibles. Let them turn. I would encourage you. I realize you got phones and iPads and computers, and I haven't seen anybody with a laptop ticking away yet, but you could if you wanted. But I encourage you to bring your Bible, because when you bring your Bible, you can bring your highlighter and your pen, and you can underline stuff as God's talking to you. There's just something about turning the pages. Come on now. We are not so far in the technology world that we can't turn pages. Okay, are we? Okay. Something about it. It's worth it. Matthew 28, Now, when you get down into verse, 16? I have a title in my, a subtitle in my Bible that says The Great Commission. You guys have that in your Bibles? It says The Great Commission. But did you know that that's actually not, those words aren't actually in the scriptures? We've just titled it that. We've titled it The Great Commission. The Great Commission is more of a heading than it is a scripture. It's more of a direction than it is a scripture. These are things the church can do, but the Great Commission, the commission that Jesus gave us, was to build the church. To build the church. Amen. So let's look at it. Let's start in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." There he is again. He's talking about the authority. He's not just waving that in front of us saying, you know, here you go. It's all mine. Now figure it out. No, he said, I've been taking it and I'm giving you the keys. He said, "Go therefore," verse 19, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we've titled this in Matthew, we've titled this The Great Commission. We've added this because that's what we call it. But really, that is part of the commission. That's how we build the church, is that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if we break this down, he's not saying every single specific believer is to go into all the world. He's saying as a church, as a whole, we are to propagate and help the gospel go all around the world. And sometimes for some of you, you've gone around the world and preached the gospel. You've gone to different countries and continents and preached the gospel. And that's great. That's an experience that can really not be matched by much else. When you get to experience another culture and another country and other people groups, and you get to experience the move of God, that is amazing. But you can also be at home serving God with all your heart in your mission field right here, because you're called to go, and you can help fund the gospel going to other nations and tribes and peoples. Amen? Amen. And that's still us being partners with what God called us to do. But it's us recognizing we have a responsibility to this. We're going to give account to God for what we did with our time and our talent and our treasure. We're going to give account for it. And so this is something that we have titled The Great Commission. And really, this is just how we do it, how we build the church, how we impact the kingdom of God, is that we facilitate the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We make disciples. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. But our commission is to Jesus' main focus. And for 2,000 years, since Jesus died on the cross and came back again, his main focus has been to build his church. So I promise you, if you get on the same page with Jesus and you figure out, you know what? I'm going to help Jesus build his church. We need more people that know God, that are discipled, that understand the things of God. Are you listening to me? Boy, it's quiet. Good night. Buddy, okay? Man, we just got to go after the things of God. This year, I'm believing for you, this year will be the greatest year you've ever had. And I don't just mean, when you think of that, like, I'm getting raises and we're moving to the big house and, you know, I'm talking about the impact you have in the kingdom, the impact you have in the world, the knowing you get and revelation you get from God on who you are and what he has called you to be and what he has done for us as sons and daughters of the living God. That's what I'm believing for. Because when you get a hold of that, when you know who you are and what God's done, and you're growing and developing spiritually, and you begin to disciple somebody else to grow and develop spiritually, you're tapping into purpose. And there's no greater life to live than a life on purpose. You know what I mean? I was in construction for a while. We built a lot. And in construction, especially in the early years, there were downtimes. There were times where you finished a job and you did not have another job to start. It happened, especially in the early years. And it's miserable because you wake up and normally you're going to do something, but you don't got nothing to do. I mean, I actually have to face the honey-do list, legitimately, with no excuses, because there's just not purpose and focus. But man, when you have focus and you got things going and you know what you're doing on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, come on, there's something that drives us. We're built this way to do something, to have focus, discipline, to accomplish things. We are built this way. We're not built to sit back on our heels and just wait for things to happen. We're not built for it. We're not built for it. And I don't mean you burn yourself out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying having focus, having purpose in our lives. My challenge to us is encompassed in everything we have to do, the jobs and the kids and the maintaining of all the stuff that encompassed in all of that, our main focus for the whole year is that Jesus is building the church and so am I.
Amen.
Jesus is building the church and so am I. And I've said this before, I want it to ring in your ears for eternity. If you want the same things that God wants for the same reason that God wants them, you are unstoppable. I'm going to say it again. This is important because you got to hear it. If you want the same things that God wants, right? And many of us would say that. But if we want them for the same reasons that God wants them, there's nothing impossible to you. Nothing. Because God will get resources to somebody that is all in for him. Your best life is Jesus first. Your best life is God first. That's your best shot at fulfillment and joy and purpose is putting God first.
Amen.
Come on, encompassing everything else that we do in life. If we put him first, best life,
amen,
best year. And it can get better and better and better every year, every year, every year.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The other scripture in Mark 16 is another great commission scripture. And it throws out a few more things that we're supposed to do as believers. But again, it's not something that we are fighting for. We're fighting for building the church. This is how we get there. It says this in Mark 16, in verse 15, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover."
Yeah.
This is what we're called to do. This is how we operate. I think that God is really challenging us as believers to not just be Christians in title, not just Christians in theory, not just Christians in us saying, "Yeah, I'm a Christian," but to actually show the world what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus.
Amen.
So that they look at us and they go, there's something different about them this year. I don't know what it is, but something has changed. Right? Our focus, our attention, our discipline is changed. Right? The world should be able to recognize us for who we are by how we handle ourselves, how we talk, how we navigate life, how we work ourselves through the grocery store on Christmas Eve with patience and kindness. Come on now. How we handle ourselves on the roads when people are crazy. How we handle ourselves. People should just go, "You know what? There's something different about them." Amen. And then when they get close enough for us to talk to them and look them in the eye, we're armed. We're ready. We know that we have authority in the kingdom of God because Jesus gave it to us to build the kingdom. And then we come back to this verse and says, we preach the gospel. And these signs will follow them that believe. Come on, what are the signs that are following you as a believer? That's a great question. Are there signs following you? That's a good quiet moment right there. Right? Are there signs? Are we actually doing what we believe? Are we actually living out what we believe about this? Are we making disciples? Are we telling people about Jesus? Are we taking the opportunity to lay hands on the sick and pray over them, not by what's in you, not the power that you create, but by the power that's in you through you to them? Do we really believe this stuff? Because it says if we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You know, there's a 0% chance that somebody's going to recover from an anointed prayer if you don't pray. Well, I prayed for them, in the car. Well, it says lay hands on the sick. That means they got to know you did it. Are you hearing me? This focus. This is just desiring to see God move in our lives. Because the Bible says those who believe, these signs are following them. So when you're walking around, people are like, "Hey, what's going on over there? What's going on with them? What's happening? What's different?" You don't have to be a super Christian to follow this. You understand this? This is what religion does. It packages this verse and says, "All right, you're going to get there one day. You know, if you can make it to church 3/4 of the time this year, then next year you're going to qualify for some of these things. Some of you are like, I don't know if that's going to happen. Just saying, this doesn't say your attendance. It says those who believe. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he always was and always will be, that he came to the earth and he died for our sins and God raised him from the dead, and we confess that with our mouth and believe that in our heart, we're saved. We're believers. We're in. That means if we're believers and we really believe that, then when we walk around, something should be following us. Amen. Building the church is our focus. Building the church is what God wants us to think about, pray about, lean toward, be disciplined in. Come on now, I'm talking to overall church today. Overall, big C, the church, right? They don't have to, you got people maybe in your work that need to know Jesus, and they don't have to come to this church. We think it's a good one, right? But if we're building the overall church, if they got a place or a family or a relative that's closer or better fit, great, we're still building the kingdom. Amen. Amen? But we got to do our job. Yeah. I remember Corey was running a Bible study when he's living down in the Tri-Cities. You know, just helping guys hear from God and see the word, and this is real stuff, and God moving. And there's zero chance they were going to come to this church. They're in the Tri-Cities. But you're still building the kingdom. Yep. I mean, wherever you end up going, God will cause you to be a light there if you'll allow him. Amen. But it's got to be a focus. It's got to be something you think about on a regular basis, who you are. Yeah. You're called into the kingdom to be a believer, that signs would follow you, and you help the Lord Jesus build his church. You are a cog in the wheel. Yeah. You're in the mechanism where he wants to use you. Yeah. Amen. 1 Peter 2, turn over there with me real quick. You guys okay? Firing us up for the year. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Start in verse 1. It says this, therefore, this is 1 Peter 2, 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as a living stone. Jesus is a living stone. He's the chief cornerstone. Amen. He started this whole thing. He was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones. You are living stones. Why would he say it that way? Why would he phrase it that way? Because Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the living cornerstone. He started it, but he uses us to build the work, to build the church. Right? And you're either going to let your little block be tiny with your initials, you got to go find later, or you can let your stone be big where you can see your name written in the walls forever. What part do you want to play? It's your choice. It's your choice. You have a part to play in this. Jesus said, I'll build my church. He wasn't going to do it alone. He's not doing it all by himself. He uses people to jump in, to do what he's called them to do, to help others come into the kingdom and learn and grow. And he said, desire the pure milk of the word. Who is he talking to? He's talking to people that have come into the kingdom that are hungry for the things of God, that desire to grow and to mature. Our mission as a church is simply to help people mature in the things of God. Amen. That's us. Our mission as Westside Church is to help people come in and grow and to mature. Why? Because a mature Christian can handle a lot. Yeah. A mature Christian can deal with the things of life and not get knocked off course. Yeah. Yep. They set their sails, and God is my Lord, and I don't care what the storm looks like. He said, go to the other side, and we're going. Yeah. And I'm equipped to get there, so I'm not going to panic right when a couple of waves come over the bow, because the pump is working. That's right. Amen? I mean, he's calling Christians to just be able to handle some stuff, and you don't do that when you're a novice, when you're a babe. When you are young in the Lord, and if you're young in the Lord, you lead on people that aren't so that they can prop you up. And no, we've been through this before. This is no problem. You're going to make it. Just stick here. Stick with us. You're good. We're with you. Amen? It's that he needs mature people in the kingdom of God to do that, for people that are coming into the kingdom that need help. Because the church as a whole, worldwide, is just full of babies. People that don't know the word, they don't know how to find stuff, they don't know how to weather storms. The first little thing that comes up, they just collapse in a pile. Right? And we've all been there, but you can't stay there for 40 years. You gotta, you know, take some years, take some time, discipline yourself. Go after the things of God, grow up. And then you know, if you live for any length of time on the planet, you realize that you have grown out of some things, haven't you? Like some things that used to really bother you just don't bother you anymore. You realize that's just not a big deal. I mean, you used to cry when your brother took your toy, you know? Now somebody borrows it, you're like, hey, just fill it up before you bring it back. Right?
Right.
It's just different. We're just handling things different. As believers, we're supposed to mature in the things of God. We're supposed to recognize this isn't about me. This is about the kingdom. This is about others. This is about people around me. I need to grow up. I need to mature. I need to handle some stuff so that I can help others do the same. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
So he tells us to grow thereby. In verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And he said this, coming to him, he's the living stone, rejected indeed by men. He is the living stone. And he says this in verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. He's building us up. Do you see the terminology that Peter's using? Peter's the rock. He's the one Jesus said, I'm going to build church on you. It's going to start in Jerusalem. It's going to spread all over the planet. He said he's using us as living stones to be built up. But it's hard for us to wrap our hands around spiritual things now. God's giving us insight to understand some things spiritually, but we are blocks and stones and bricks in the building that Jesus is building the church of. Us, right? And we can either just sit in there like a bump on a log, or we can be a builder with the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, in construction, there were days when it was fun to build. There are parts of construction that are fun to watch go up. Framing, trusses, stuff happens super fast. You know, all your prep work, in just a couple of weeks, you've got a structure you can see, you can walk through, you can really get a tangible feel of what it's going to be in the ceilings and the walls and the rooms and the view, all this stuff, right? But there's parts of construction that are a drag. And you're just like, Lord, get me through this, please. Drywall and flooring and, oh, paint. Oh, if you're a painter, I am so grateful for you. But, you know, life isn't all about all the fun stuff. You know, there's this, the process is you got to go through some stuff and you got to do some hard things. Do the hard things, right? Sometimes you just got to do hard things. But it's all productive. It's all productive. That's where discipline comes in. It's easy to show up when you're doing the fun stuff. It's difficult to get after it when you're kind of slogging through the stuff that you're like, can't wait for this to be over. But we still got to do it.
Amen.
Still got to do it. Amen. Everybody all right? Turn over real quick with 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. It's got a little more and then we'll wrap her up. How are we doing? Oh, we're doing great. You guys are doing great. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 9. Says this, for we are God's fellow workers. For you are God's field. You are God's what?
Building.
You are his building. You see this theme? Jesus is building the church. We're a part of it.
Amen.
We're a part of it. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on, that foundation which he built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. This is not just metaphoric. This is actual. There's going to come a day when what we did in life will be tested by fire. Right? The things that were precious, the things that were valuable, will be refined and they'll come out clean. There'll be reward for that. But the things that we wasted our time with, the wood, the hay, the stubble, the sticks, that's going to go bye-bye. It's going to happen. I'm just giving you forewarning so that we put our attention and our focus on the things that are important. Come on now, this life's brief. I mean, if you've been on this planet for 40, 50 years, 60, 70 years, how fast did it go by? Come on now. Are you hearing me? It's brief. And we will stand before God. We will give an account. My job is to herald that appointment you have, to remind you of it, that it's coming, and you can't dodge it. You can't call in sick. You can't get a doctor's note. You're going to stand before him and everything we did. Come on. It's all going to be tested by fire. Our job is to recognize that in this life. And not that we can't build anything on the earth. Come on. There's things God has called us to build in the earth that are helped to be resources to the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen?
He wants us to enjoy life that is not outside of the scope of what God designed for us. But if that's our only focus, we are missing a huge piece. A huge piece. Because you're not going to be sad when your dream home burns up, when the gold and the precious stones and the things you did for the kingdom are refined by fire and stand before the Lord. You won't be sad.
Amen.
You won't be sad. You got a better one being built right now. Is this true?
Yeah.
He goes to prepare a place for us? Is that real or is that just... Come on now.
Yeah.
You want a mansion? Or you want an RV plugged into the mother-in-law's house? What you want? He's helping us. He's preparing things for us. So we want to go after the things of God with absolute certainty and focus. This is my call. This is my mission. This life is short. It is brief. He is building us together in the house of God. He's called us to something. All of us are called to help build the kingdom. You can build it with your prayers. You can build it with your time. You can build it with other people. Come on, building it with your money. There's a way to do this all the way. Everybody okay? Thank you, Lord. He's helping us, isn't he? So we want to be built on Christ. And I love this. I love this verse. He says, if anyone else, verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, it will all be tested. And then before that, in verse 11, he says, for no other foundation can one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's being extremely clear. For the church, for us, Jesus is the only foundation. If he's not the bedrock, if he's not the beginning, if we don't start with him, we're wasting our time. It always comes back to Jesus. It always comes back to Jesus. This is why in this season, this hour, this day we live in, right? The conversations that we have with people outside of pointing them to Jesus, you know, the let's call them discussions, arguments, whatever, about how the world is and how it should go, and it's fruitless without Jesus being the center. I mean, honestly, our job, our goal is to present Jesus to people because he's the answer. He's the only one that can bring truth into people's hearts and minds. He's it. He's it. The world is doing exactly what the Bible said. It is turning from God and running full speed toward hell. The Bible says we're going to see this in the last days. People will reject sound thinking. They'll reject God. They don't even want him in their mind. They will push him out. We're in that age. The only way for people to see things reasonably, soundly, to understand truth is to lead them to Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
He's the bedrock. He's the start. He's the foundation. That's our job too. Just keep pointing people back to Jesus. Just keep pointing them back to Jesus. He's the foundation. Everybody all right? Thank you, Lord. Let's look at one more scripture and we'll wrap up. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19, it says there, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are part of Jesus' plan to build the church. We're being built together. It's our job. The overall church, all-encompassing church. That means we find a way to help the overall church. We help our own local church, but we help the overall church. How do we do that? Sometimes it's with our time. Sometimes it's with our talent. Sometimes it's with our treasure, with our money. But to find a way on a consistent, focused, disciplined, regular basis. God, how can I today help you build the church? How can I do that? That's got to be our focus. Come on, life is real easy to get our attention on just life, right? Mowing the grass, shoveling the snow, fixing the fence, getting to work, punching the clock, paying the bills. It's real easy to get caught up in that. It's real easy. I'm telling you, in the midst of all of that stuff, while we're doing that, we can develop a relationship with the Lord that's something we've never seen before maybe in our lives. Just close, intimate, secure, and learn from him, and then watch him use us in other people's lives to be a blessing everywhere we go, so that we truly live up to that verse. Believers will have signs following them everywhere they go. But we got to open up and be willing to do that. He won't make you. He's not going to make you do it. He's just going to say, hey, this is it. Preach the gospel, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. That's his commission to us, right? And our commission, our great commission, if we're going to label a great commission, is to help Jesus build the church, because that's what he's focused on. He wants people. God's heartbeat is people. It will always be people. He loves people. He loves people. He doesn't want anybody. He's not willing that anybody should perish. He wants them all to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Not all will. We've read the book, but that's not God's desire. His will, his heart, is for us to do our jobs to reach the lost, to build the church, to see Jesus come back. Amen?
Thank you for joining us today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, we want to chat with you and help you in your walk with God. We invite you to connect with us at wcspokane.com/connect, and someone from our team will be in touch with you. You can also hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new content in the future. Thanks again for joining us, and remember, Jesus is coming soon.